Please take your Bibles this morning as we turn to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Looking at the subject here in these few verses, hypocrisy is a bigger sin than you think. I think a lot of times we hear that word, we say that word, and we bring it down to this little tiny problem. But it's not a little problem, as we're going to see. It's a huge, terrible problem. Sin problem. Hypocrisy is a bigger sin than you think. Galatians 2, let's read our text for today, 11 through 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James in Jerusalem. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled, or played the hypocrite, likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, hypocrisy. We see in verse 13, monkey see, monkey do. Usually when monkey see, monkey do happens, it's negative. It's bad. It's sinful. And people follow that stuff. And here we have this going on with the right-hand man of Paul. The man who has traveled the country and hundreds of miles proclaiming the cause of Christ, and he falls to this. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. That's what this book is all about, Galatians. Galatians is all about gospel-rooted living. That's what this whole book is about. And here we are in verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning, this powerful few verses we have here in the book of Galatians. We ask this morning you would help us to, as we go along, look into our own hearts, and this week, help us to sit and meditate, look, search, pray to you that any area of this hypocrisy gets rooted out of our lives. It is a destructive force. It maims believers. It sends sinners to hell. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see this set of verses here today for what it is. And may we learn, and may we be serious in our Christian lives, especially in these days of apostasy and falling away and going down the drain. We need the power of God in our hearts and our lives. We need to be righteous and holy, and we pray that we will be and that you'll make that happen in our lives. We're looking to you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for this message. I'm trusting and depending in you to bring this, not the way I want to bring it, but the way you want to bring it. You add, you delete, you speak to our hearts. We're depending on that today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction this morning, the question that Galatians answers for us is, how should we live? Based on the fact that Jesus Christ has gone to the cross of Calvary and His blood was shed there for our sins and then He rose again from the grave, how should we live? How do we live a gospel-rooted life? That's what this book addresses. Our passage today tells us how our gospel-rooted living can be destroyed by the huge sin of hypocrisy. A tragic situation has developed here in the church at Galatia. This is Paul's home church. This is Paul's sending church. This is the church that sent bags of gold to Jerusalem and Judea for the poor brethren there, and now we have them acting like this. Terrible, tragic situation. Paul and Barnabas have already spent a lot of time ministering there at the church in Antioch. They went on that first missionary journey, sent out. And the issue of table fellowship comes up. And it is a big problem here at the church in Antioch. Table fellowship. And you're looking at what in the world is table fellowship? Well, we're going to get there. We're going to explain that. This issue of table fellowship is threatening to divide the church, resulting in this big conflict between Paul and Peter. The sin of hypocrisy destroys gospel-rooted living. It knocks us off the track. It takes us away from living the truth of the gospel. And that's what we need to be all about. And so the issue of table fellowship is hard to grasp in our fast food culture that we live in here in America. It's difficult for us to appreciate the great religious significance that people associated with what we look at is just sitting down and simply picking up our fork and eating. To them, table fellowship was a big deal. When they sat down to the table to eat, and with whom they sat down to eat, was a big religious ordeal. It was a big deal to them. The serious Jews didn't eat pork. Their Gentile brothers did. The Jewish Christians did not eat meat offered to idols. The Gentiles bought the meat and they ate the meat because it is just meat. It doesn't matter. Okay? Serious Jews did not eat meat that was not properly tithed. Gentiles ate the meat. The serious Jews did not eat what they considered to be unclean food. The Gentiles ate the meat. Okay? And so do we. All right? And so do we. The problem was that some of these people were Jews first and Christians second. Oh. Well, you know what? If we're not living gospel-rooted lives, it doesn't matter what for food that we're eating, we can fall prey to the same thing. We could be something else first and Christians second. We have to watch out for that in our lives. So some of these Jewish Christians believed that the Gentile believers should be circumcised and they should follow our dietary laws. You know what that is? That's called salvation plus works. Get saved, but you have to do this, or you have to do that. And we have people right now, this morning, who live the same way. Yep, I'm saved by grace, but man, I'm kept by what I do. I know I'm in the palm of Jesus, but that doesn't mean I can't jump out. You see, they don't understand the Scriptures. They're not gospel-rooted, living Christians. And so we have this big problem now at the church in Antioch. And this is what caused this big confrontation that we have today in our text. So hypocrisy is a bigger sin than you think. Our first point this morning is hypocrisy is play-acting. Hypocrisy is play-acting. In antiquity, a hypocrite was an actor. He would put on a mask and act out a part on stage. So the word came to mean the concealing of one's true character, thoughts, or feelings under a guise implying something quite different. A hypocrite masks his real convictions and beliefs and acts out a part that is not really his. And this is exactly what Paul is watching Peter do. And as a result of Peter doing that, others were carried away, as the text said, with his hypocrisy. They put on a mask to cover up what they truly believe about Jesus Christ. You see, Peter, when the Jews from Jerusalem came to town, put on a mask. And he covered up his true convictions. And he separated himself. And he acted like the Jews who said, "You need to be circumcised. You need to follow our dietary rules. You need to live like we live." And so Peter was having table fellowship with the Gentile Christians. But when those folks came from Jerusalem, he separated from them and came over here and sat down with the Jews and all their fuddy-duddy ideas. Hypocrisy, play-acting, putting on the mask. You see, Peter knew better and Peter believed better. But he didn't do it when the rubber hits the road. Okay? So there was a big problem there. Peter plays the hypocrite. Hypocrisy is not simply failing to live up to what you believe. That is sin, to be sure. But when we live out our gospel convictions in one situation, but then cover them up in another, that's hypocrisy. That's like when I went to public school, I went there as a Christian. But there were times, you know, when there's pressure. And everybody's doing this, and they're saying that. And then what did I do sometimes? I would put on the mask. Oh, it's hypocrisy. But then ninth grade came along, and the Lord started working and in my heart. And I did what we all need to do. I took the mask off, and I threw it on the ground, and I stomped it. And that was the end of that. And the Bible was in my shirt pocket every day. And it got read in study hall. And when we get in a conversation, I'd bring up Jesus in that conversation, whether they liked it or not. And there were a couple other kids in the school, and one of them was Mike Fulmer, who's one of our state senators now. He was 2 years ahead of me. He did the same thing. And it was really fun when we got to geometry class because we were in the same class. And then it was not one against the world, but then it was two against the world. And that made the odds a whole lot more fun when you had someone there to help you out. So this is a terrible thing, failing to live up to what we believe. We got to not do that. So hypocrisy for us as believers, we actually start to play the part of a non-believer. We play the part of a non-believer. It's playing a role. in a play in which the story is not defined by the gospel, by gospel-rooted living. It's what Peter did in Antioch by choosing to cover up with his behavior his true convictions about the gospel. He believed correctly, and we believe correctly, but yet he intentionally lived in a way that covered up what he believed and made it look like he didn't believe it to be true. That's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. It's like the husband who takes off his wedding ring so it looks like he's a single man. Hypocrisy. And so we must ask ourselves questions at this point. In what situations do we play act? In what situations do we cover up what we really believe by how we live? In what situations do we find ourselves putting on the mask? In what situations do we find ourselves doing that? Concealing our true convictions about the gospel or who Jesus Christ is. He's my Savior and He shed His blood for me. You've got to throw the mask on the ground and stomp it and leave it there. Secondly, this morning, hypocrisy, its sources. Its sources. There are certain situations that come up in our lives where the devil really comes in like a flood and he starts to tempt us to play act. And Peter's example here is very, very telling. Masking his convictions was expedient for him. He felt like, I need to mask it right now. These brothers have come from Jerusalem, and man, I got to mask my true beliefs and convictions. Why did he do that? Because it was to his advantage. Because the pressure was on. If I do not mask my beliefs right now, I might get punished by these people from Jerusalem. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 12. For before that certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Peter fell into hypocrisy for the first thing he reasoned was he feared. And it says it right there very clearly in black and white. He withdrew himself. He was afraid. He feared those people. He feared that he might be punished by the circumcision party. How many public officials today fear because of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? There's fear, and then they mask what they really believe because they're afraid of retribution. They're afraid they might not get voted back into office next time. And that's not why they're there. They're there to do right and to be holy and do righteous business for our country. So Peter here, he did not want to be crucified with Christ. He didn't want to be crucified with Christ for the sake of his Gentile brothers and sisters. Sad. Very sad. Peter also fell into hypocrisy because of the desire to people please. People please. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, we learned earlier that people pleasers do not make very good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks who cave in don't make very good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter fell into this in our text today. Hypocrisy is how people pleasers navigate their way through life. people navigate their way all the way through their lives trying to please people. Going around this thing and going around, oh man, if I do that, no, we better go do this. Because Aunt Harriet might be mad if I do the right thing. And so they don't. And it becomes very, very a humongous problem of hypocrisy. So if we are willing to be crucified with Christ, we will take the mask and we'll throw it on the floor and we'll stomp it and we'll get rid of it. Thirdly this morning, hypocrisy is destructive. Hypocrisy is destructive. Hypocrisy is extremely destructive to the person who's playing the hypocrite and those who are looking on. That's why I said, not only is it destructive to the person doing it, but it could send a soul to hell. It could send a soul to hell because they look at us. And man, if we're a Christian, they're analyzing us with 10 microscopes and 5 magnifying glasses and any other way they possibly can. And when we mess up in this area, they say, look at that. And then they say, if that's what a Christian is, then I don't want to be one of those. And what does that do? Shoves them right over the cliff, right into hell fire. Hypocrisy is destructive. It's a religious hypocrisy is the most damaging kind of hypocrisy because we're dealing with human souls. Hypocrisy is like a virus. Hypocrisy needs human interaction for it to survive. It spreads and it thrives. It infects whole churches and communities. And that's exactly what happened here in our text in Antioch. We have just 4 verses, and we see humongous destruction. Just 4 little verses, and what a powerful destruction it was. It spreads and it thrives. Now notice the destructive impact of Peter's hypocrisy in verse 13. And the other Jews. Notice, it's the other. His hypocrisy affected the other Jews. And the other Jews dissembled or played the hypocrite likewise with him. So now we have Peter starting it. Now it's infecting more people, and the other Jews are infected with his hypocrisy. Insomuch that Barnabas, the vice president of missions, also was carried away with their dissimulation or their hypocrisy. Monkey see, monkey do. That's verse 13. I wrote that right in the column of my Bible. Monkey see, monkey do. That's exactly what happened here. Usually monkey see, monkey do is bad stuff. Unbelievable. Destructive. Most people, and I don't use that word most lightly, most people are easily infected by hypocrisy. And we see in verse number 13 that even Barnabas, the other Jews, and even Barnabas was infected. Peter's hypocrisy was so destructive that it was in effect forcing the Gentile Christians to live like Jews. Verse 14. But when I, Paul, saw that they walked not uprightly according to, now notice, according to what? The truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel was, as a Christian, I don't discriminate with who I sit down to lunch with. Now I want you to think in your mind of Jesus, the most powerful illustration. He didn't care who he sat down to lunch with. He sat down to lunch with every kind of person, every kind of sinner that you can imagine, because he knew that there's a soul sitting here across the table and we're having pan pizza, and that person's lost. And that person needs to be saved. The truth of the gospel. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I, Paul, said unto Peter before all. This was a public gathering, and Paul set the record straight publicly. Got up. I said unto Peter before all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You need to remember that when you play act, when you play the hypocrite, we are doing more than setting a bad example. We're causing others to stray from the truth of the gospel. And that's what this whole book of Galatians is about. Gospel-rooted living. Living according to the Scriptures. Children see the hypocrisy in their parents. They're not dumb. They see it. They're watching mom and dad. They know if mom and dad are sold out to Jesus Christ. They know it. They're not fooled. Children know that whether or not mom and dad are faithful to the church, which means they're faithful to Jesus Christ. Children see that. Children know, hey, we got church Sunday night, but our car's not rolling out of the driveway. They see that. They see the hypocrisy. They see that Jesus is set aside and other things take that place. Other things are more important than the Lord. They see that. And so when we play the hypocrite, we're doing more than setting a bad example. We're causing others to stray from the truth of the gospel. There's a sobering challenge here for us who are saved. When I play the hypocrite and act like there's no gospel, not only do we infect other Christians and cause them to be hypocrites, but we can also convince the unbeliever to stay an unbeliever. That's the last thing that you want to convince an unbeliever to be, is to stay an unbeliever. And point number four, hypocrisy is to be avoided. Hypocrisy is to be avoided. The gospel is like the balance beam in the Olympics. You know that balance beam that we see those young, little, tiny, skinny girls get up on that balance beam? You know that balance beam, it's 4 inches wide. 4 inches. That's it. It's 4 inches. The gospel is like the balance beam. The goal is to stay on it. You don't want to fall off the balance beam. You lose the competition if you do that. The goal is to stay on the balance beam. The world, carnal Christians, sin, sinful thoughts within us are all tempting us to fall off the balance beam, fall away from the gospel and sin. We don't want to fall off the balance beam. So, how do we avoid falling off the gospel balance beam? How do we avoid that? How do we avoid this awful sin of hypocrisy? There are 3 steps to success. 3 steps to success. Number one is you got to look straight ahead. You've got to look straight ahead. When's the last time you saw one of those little girls get on that balance beam and wave to mommy in the stands? Look over here to see if she's getting the approval of that person. What's going to happen? off the beam you go. If your eyes are not focused on Jesus, you're going off. You're not going to stay on. The goal is not going to be reached. You have to look straight ahead. You cannot look at the crowd in the stands. You can't look at the people across the aisle from you at church. You got to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot look at the frowns and the smiles of the people in the crowd. Look to please Christ, not people. So number one, look straight ahead. Number two, hold out your arms. Hold out your arms. This is how you stay balanced. Hold out your arms. We also, in a spiritual sense, we hold out our arms for help. You know why? Because we're holding out our hands because we need gospel-rooted brothers and sisters on both sides of our balance beam to help us out. We need a brother on the left and a sister on the right. We need helping hands. We keep the hands out. We need help if we're going to stay on the gospel beam. We've got to do that. We need a helper on each side to help you, to coach you. We need gospel-rooted brothers and sisters in Christ to grab us and help us so that we don't fall. We need people on either side of us who will speak the truth to us and not help us to fall. Not look away and let you fall off. No, they're there to help you, to tell you, hey, look, you're going to fall if you do that. Keep your eyes focused on Christ, not the crowd. Here to help you. I'm not, you know, the last thing you want is a brother or sister in Christ that's standing beside you and they're not going to help. They're not going to help you to stay straight with the Lord. They're just going to let you go. Oh, well, if I say something, I might look bad on me. No. Hold out your arms. And success step number three. Trust and depend on God that you'll stay on the beam. Trust and depend on God that you will stay on the beam. It's called faith. Faith is trust and dependence in God. You know, when those little girls come running out to that balance beam, do you ever see them go into their gym bag and pull out a measuring tape and run over and put it on? Oh, 4 inches. Oh, that's awful small. You never see that. They don't do that. No, 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 no. They are trusting and depending in their training and in their practicing and the things that they have learned to keep them on that beam. You know, if they get out the measuring tape and run out there, you know, the faith is gone. Now I'm starting to doubt. Now I'm starting to doubt. 4 inches, that's not very wide. They don't do that. They don't make that mistake. We must trust in God and in His truth. We must trust in the Word of God to stay on that balance beam, the gospel balance beam. In conclusion this morning, what if you fall off? What if you fall off? The gospel balance beam. What do you do? You know what you're supposed to do. Get up. Get back on the balance beam and get going and get your eyes focused back on Jesus Christ and put your hands out and depend on the Lord to take you down the road successfully. You get on. What did Peter do? Did Peter get back on the balance beam? How many times did Peter get back on the balance beam is a better question. Denies the Lord. Puts his foot in his mouth again. Here he gets caught. Humongous. hypocrisy problem at the church of Antioch. You know, we need to take Peter's example, not as a pressing down Peter, but we need to look at Peter's example in conclusion this morning as evidence and proof that as a believer, it doesn't matter if we fall off the beam, we can get up and we can get back on. That's the success route that we've got to take. Get up and get back on. I have to do that as a pastor. Do you realize if I would quit after falling off the balance beam, I'd have been gone out of here the first day I was here. You got to just get back up and get going. You get up and you get more determined. You get up and you get more trusting in the Lord and depending on His strength and not on your own. I think that's one of the largest spiritual lessons that we can learn in this life is do not depend on yourself. You depend on the Lord. And when you do that, man, you're going to be a winner. You're going to be a winner as you depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for this very powerful and in-your-face illustration in the book of Galatians on this terrible sin of spiritual hypocrisy. Father, we ask that You help us to be victorious in this area of our lives. Help us to keep our eyes focused on You. Help us to keep on that balance beam. Help us to not fall off. Help us to get our hands out and trust in our guides and our friends. And help us to be that guide and that friend that's going to help to stay straight. And have the words of wisdom from the Scriptures that will help those on that balance beam. Lord, help us to be those people. We ask, Lord, that You give us victory today. We ask that You might bless us as Your children today. Help us to walk with You. We pray for victory in our lives. We ask that You would guide our very footsteps, that we might serve You effectively in these very difficult days as our eyes are focused on You. We give You praise. We give You thanksgiving for this great example. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.